Our gospel lesson text this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We were there last week and looked at one aspect of that passage of Scripture. And we return to that chapter again this week to look at a second. That is found on page 306 in the Bibles that are in your seats. We'll read this morning from verses 1 through 22. Of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is God's word, eternally true, given to us for his glory and for our good. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man but for the Lord God. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stones and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple, 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave for the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. The next day they made sacrifices to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to him, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs, together with their drink offerings and other sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Here ends our reading. Now let's respond to the Lord with our words of thanks printed for you in your bulletin on the bottom left of your bulletin before you. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, indeed, thanks be to you for your word. It instructs us about who you are and how you deal with us, and it instructs us about how we are to live, that our lives, the result of our lives, would be glory to you, that our actions and that our thoughts would bring glory to you. And we thank you, our Lord, that as that happens, as we live by your word, by your law, and bring glory to you, that we benefit, that our souls are nourished, that our souls are strengthened, and that our lives become more satisfying than they were before. Help us in that by your Spirit. Jesus, preach to us by your word. Spirit, illumine this text and change us by it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. This sermon is about joy. Joy in Jesus' palace. One of the things about preaching from one text twice is that you need to do some review. And this review in particular from last week is appropriate for us to do. It's a review that will bring us into a proper framework of what God wants us to know and have in our minds as we think about our lives and the church and our Lord. Last week we heard God calling us from this chapter to give to the building of his palace. In Old Testament times, this giving, as we see in this passage, was a giving to the Lord's palace, which was the temple in Jerusalem, a physical building of stone and various items of gold and silver and wood and the like. And David encouraged his people to give to the temple because the temple was God's palace, to be seen by all, and God would be glorified by the grandeur of this temple. From this chapter and several places in the New Testament, God spoke to us about several things last week. One, and you've got a list of things here under review from last week. If you like filling out blanks in a bulletin, you can do that if you like. One, the temple was God's palace. David calls it that in verses 1 and 19. Second thing we heard from God last week was that God's temple and palace today is the church. That's your second blank there. The temple and palace today is the church, which is called the temple of God and the temple of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. The church is compared to a building that Christ is building. Christ said, I will build my church in Matthew 16. Thirdly, we heard several this as well as the other things last week, that we are to give. We are to give to the construction of the church, which is Jesus' palace. Just as David and God's people gave to the construction of the temple in the passage before us this morning. But today, as we give to the church instead of the stone temple in Jerusalem, we give mostly in different ways. And the New Testament maps that out. There are three ways that the New Testament maps out, at least three, that we give to the church. One, the A in your bulletin, is we give spiritual gifts for the construction of the church. That is, at the point of salvation of each person, God's Spirit had come into them, given them life, given them faith, and at the same time given them gifts to be used in the church for the building up of the church. Hear the construction language in there, the building up of the church. We have various gifts, teaching and helping and serving and administrating, all kinds of things, abilities that God has given to us that he wants us to use in the church so that the church is built up. So we give spiritual gifts for the construction of the church. B, we learned last week from the Lord, we give living stones for the construction of the church. We give living stones. We're told that Christ, through his death and resurrection, is the cornerstone of the building of the church. And from 1 Peter 2, we heard from the Lord that we are living stones being built upon that cornerstone, upon that foundation of the apostles and prophets, the writings of the New Testament, upon that cornerstone of Jesus, that we as living stones, people who believe in Jesus, are being built up as a holy temple in the Lord. Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3 speak that way of us, as well as 1 Peter 2. Living stones are believers. And so we as believers talk to our friends about Jesus being the Son of God, about Jesus coming to earth to die for the forgiveness of sins of those who believe. And as we do that throughout our lives, hopefully we'll all see numbers of people come to have faith in Christ, come to be a living stone. And in that way, we, through what we've said, through the way we've acted, treating them as Christ has treated us, caring for them as Christ has cared for us — we didn't deserve to be cared for, and Christ cared for us. The people around us often haven't done anything that deserves our caring for them. But Jesus says we're to care for them. We're to treat them with kindness as he treated us with kindness when we didn't deserve it. We still don't deserve to be treated with kindness by our Lord, but he treats us that way. Jesus put it this way: you greet those that greet you, so what? Even the tax collectors and sinners do that. But I say to you, greet those who don't greet you. Love those who are your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Then you will be sons of my Father in heaven. Jesus' Father in heaven had treated with kindness us who had not deserved it and who don't deserve it. And so through those things, we allow people to see the gospel by our actions, by our treatment of them. We allow people to hear the gospel as we declare to them our belief that Jesus is the Son of God and that he forgives sins and he's the only source of forgiveness. And as people hear that and God gets a hold of them, they become a living stone that we bring for the construction of the church, the holy temple in the Lord. Thirdly, or C, we give money for the construction of the church, that the church can have everything it needs to build up the members of the church in their Christian maturity. And again, so that I can play golf all week with you and show up one day to work Sunday morning. And Allison wants to go golfing too. No, you give so that, one, I get to feed my family while spending all my vocational energy in shepherding you relationally, talking with you, being with you, and so that I can spend my vocational energy through the week, the best hours of my week, studying God's Word and teaching it and preaching it to you. But we also use this money that you give to the church so that the church can do the ministry it needs to do, buying Sunday school materials, buying whatever is necessary so that you as the church are built up in your maturity in Christ. That's all review from last week, but very important review. This should be the kind of stuff we have implanted on the front of our minds, so that as we think about the church, we are in a mindset not of getting, which is an infection in the church today, but as we think about the church, we think of giving. How do I give? Oh, the church. How can I give of myself, my energy, my time, my finances? What can I do so that the church of Jesus Christ is built up, so that Jesus receives glory because his temple is a magnificent thing, so that people go by it and say, wow. We give through the giving of our spiritual gifts. We give to the construction through bringing living stones, and we give to the construction through bringing our money. Now on to what God says to us additionally in this passage, at least part of it. God says to us this morning, God says to you this morning, in giving to Jesus' palace, there is joy. In giving to Jesus' palace, there is joy. All of us want joy in life. There's not anybody that goes around and says, oh, I want my life to be awful. I want to have sorrow every day. And I'm going to get mad when I don't. No, we're all seeking joy in life. We love it when we have a day that's full of joy. God wants us to see very clearly in this passage that He desires for us to have joy. And He tells us one way in which we can have that joy. There's an organization that many of you may be familiar with called Habitat for Humanity. It's an organization that through volunteer service of people builds houses for the poor so that a poor family in the community can come and have a house to live in. And if you're a part of this organization or helped in this organization, you might know. And if you're not, you can imagine the great joy that would be a part of being a part of this. You can look at what you've built and say, wow, I did that. I built that thing. And look at this. This whole house, at the end of it all, has come together. There's joy in that accomplishment, in putting your blood, sweat and tears, so to speak, your skills to that. When I was in high school and college, one thing I would do often during my breaks would be to work for a construction company. I worked for a contractor, Fred Kautz, and old Fred was about to retire, and his son worked for him, and there was a crew, and I would work for him on my breaks. And I remember one of the things I was doing, we were refurbishing an old brick building that had been kind of torn apart and used as apartments for a while, but it was bought and it was being turned into an office building. And one of the things that I had to do, one of the jobs that Fred gave me, was to go to this this wood railing that went along, is that what you call it, or a banister, that went along the stairs that kind of wound up from the front door. You saw this as he entered the front door, wound upward up to the second floor. And this wood railing had been painted black oil paint at one point in the history of this building. The building was probably 100 years old. And the job he gave me was to strip this down to the bare wood, and then to help with the staining and all that kind of thing. Well, this is in my hometown, and an office there, and I get to go to that office every so often. And when I go into that door, what you see is that beautiful wood railing. No longer black chipped paint, but beautiful wood, stained and polished and all that kind of stuff. And it stands out among what's now the waiting room where people sit around and wait. There's great satisfaction. I get joy in seeing that work that I've done. You can think about your own work at your whatever you do throughout the week or on Saturdays, and think about the things that you do and accomplish and how that brings you joy. This sense and experience of joy in building is what God is encouraging you and I in this morning in 1 Chronicles 29. We get this joy, God tells us in this passage, from giving. That's the example we have before us in this passage. But what is our natural reaction when someone tells us to give? Some of us are more natural givers than the other, but I think all in all, when someone asks us to give, somebody showed up at my house on my porch on Wednesday night this week, and they were collecting money for something. And immediately, when I saw his packet there and realized this was somebody asking for a donation, I was just waiting for the thing to be over. I don't want to give. I want to get. I want to keep. I don't want to give to something else, and I could have gone out to eat or something like that. Our natural reaction to giving is that we are not givers. Hey, we're not givers. Naturally, we're not. We often don't like it. You ever asked somebody, or have you ever had somebody ask you to give up of your time and energy in the form of helping them move? Isn't that a great phone call that you get? Hey, can you help us move? I've made those calls to people. Sure. How well do you know me? How well do I want to know you now? I don't know. But we're shown that there's something very different as a consequence of giving to the Lord's temple, giving to Christ's palace, giving to the church. Not a response of, ugh, I don't want to do that. Ugh, I'm going to lose if I give away. I'm going to lose something that I have. In contrast to that, there's something very different that God presents to us here, that as we give to His church, there's a different experience, a different something that happens to us as we give to the church. What is the consequence for us giving to the construction of the church? Well, God is very, very clear here. As we look down at this passage, we see that the consequence is experiencing great, surprising joy. The consequence of us giving to His church, His temple, His palace, is surprising, great joy. The words joy and rejoice and the magnitude to which they are experienced are mentioned often, frequently, in this passage. God doesn't want us to miss it, that this is the experience of you and I as we give to His palace. Look at verse 9 in your Bibles, as you have them open there. If not, you can turn back there. Verse 9, it says, the people rejoiced. They rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also did what? Rejoiced. That's it. Rejoiced greatly. He had just given from his governmental stores, but he had also given from the stores of his personal wealth greatly to the Lord. And he greatly rejoiced. And the people gave generously and willingly and freely. And they had joy too in it. Verse 17, the second half of verse 17. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And then in verses 21 and 22, the next day they made sacrifices. Okay, they had to give these sacrifices. They had to bring these sacrifices. These were lambs and bulls and the like from their flocks that could have meant money to them if they had sold them or used them to produce things. But they sacrificed their own profit to give to the Lord as they brought sacrifices. 21. The next day they made sacrifice to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to Him. 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs, together with their drink offerings and other sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they felt impoverished and were bummed out. No, that's not what it says. Verse 22 says, they ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. What is God saying to us? He's saying to us, there's great joy when we give to Him. Great joy as we give to the building up of the church in these three ways that we've mentioned that we give to His palace. Did you get a sense here in this passage as you read through it and as you read through these verses again at what was going on in this assembly with David? The people gave, and they gave, as we talked about last week, because it was the right thing to do. God was their king. He was their deliverer. He was their warrior who fought battles before them. He was the reason they were in the promised land and enjoying its fruits. And so it was right for them to give, because if this was His palace, He deserved to have a great palace. And so it's the right and good thing to do to give, so that their king would have a palace that was fitting unto him. But after they give because it's fitting, after they give because it's the right thing to do, which is fine motivation, did you get the sense here that they got surprised? They give, and it was the right thing to do, and then they experience joy. Like, hey, I thought that was going to hurt. You know, I thought, boy, this would be tough, and it was kind of tough bringing my sacrifices to the temple. This would have meant good money for me. But I gave them to the Lord, now they're gone, and oh, man, what a waste. No, that wasn't their response. They gave these things abundantly and freely to the Lord for the building up of His temple and bringing what they brought, both their sacrifices and the building materials that they brought, gold, silver, so forth. And they experience joy, unexpectedly, as it seems. They thought they'd regret it, but they say, I gave, and wow, I feel great. This is fantastic. I didn't expect this. I'm experiencing great joy. And God wants you to know. God wants you to know that giving to the kingdom of God, giving to Jesus' palace, that is giving of your gifts and abilities, bringing living stones for the building up of the church, giving of your money, those three ways that we give to Jesus' palace. Results, here are your two blanks. Results in joy. Results in joy for you. Do you want to experience joy? Give to Jesus' palace. Give of yourself and your abilities for the building up of it. Bring living stones. Give your money for the work of the church so that it can grow in maturity. Our example in this is from none other than Jesus Christ Himself. I think that's a blank for you. Our example in this is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus gave to the construction of the church. Two questions at this point. How did He give? How did Jesus give to the church? And how did His giving result in joy? We've just said that if you give to the work of the church, if you give to Jesus' palace, you get joy. How did this play out in Jesus' life and ministry here on earth? First question, how did Jesus give to the construction of the church? Jesus gave to the construction of the church with His life. We give of our life, in a sense, with our spiritual gifts. But Jesus gave His life. That is, He gave His church, to the church's construction, by His death. For by His death, He made it possible for sins to be forgiven. Apart from His death, no sins, that's your blank, no sins can be forgiven. And apart from any sins being forgiven, there's no church. Jesus' giving of His life, Jesus' death, made it possible for the church building, His palace, to be built. For Jesus was the cornerstone of the church. As He gave His own life, He became the chief cornerstone upon which we, the rest of the living stones, are built. No cornerstone, no foundation, no living stones making up the walls. We're the living stones making up the walls. He gave His life to be a cornerstone so that we could be living stones. Second question, how did Jesus' giving result in joy for Him and for us? How did His giving of His life result in joy for Him and for us? Jesus' giving to the construction of the church was excruciatingly painful and humiliating to Him. It was a giving that cost Him much. It cost Him His entire life, all that He had. But the result of His giving to the construction of the church was joy. Just like God's people in our gospel lesson text today, He gave abundantly. He gave all that He had. He gave His life, and it resulted in joy. We saw it in Hebrews 12. That was read for us by Larry this morning. The writer tells us in verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus' giving, He didn't like it. He scorned the shame. He had to endure the cross. It wasn't fun for Him. He didn't want to do it. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Father, please take this cup from me, the cup of your wrath against the sins of all your people. Take it from me. But He endured the cross, though He scorned the shame, for the joy set before Him. What was that joy? One, to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Having been obedient to His Father, having been righteous, He would be resurrected and ascended and seated at God's right hand. But the joy set before Him was the joy of bringing us to Him. Was the joy of being a priest, in the context of Hebrews here, a priest for us, who would make a sacrifice that would allow for our sins to be forgiven. Jesus has joy in having redeemed you. Jesus has joy in the fact that you and all who are of faith in Him will be with Him in His presence for eternity. Jesus has joy in that. And for Him, having us there was worth it to give. And Jesus serves as our example. Jesus shows us the result of giving to the construction of the church was joy. It was joy for him because he loved us. That's your blank. Because he loved us and was delighted and joyful to rescue. That's your next blank. He was delighted and joyful to rescue you from the penalty of your sins, which, like Adam, for Adam was death. But as a result of his giving to the construction of the church with his very life, there's not only joy for him, but also it resulted in joy for us. Joy for us. For by his giving of his life to the church construction, we get life eternal, which is a joy for us beyond description. And guess what? When we give freely and willingly to the church with our spiritual gifts, bringing living stones and bringing of our money, these things enable others to experience this same joy. For your giving in these three ways for the construction of the church enables, one, for non-believers to come to experience this joy of salvation. Two, it allows for believers to come to experience the joy of knowing Christ and living for Christ more deeply. Anyone who's worked for Habitat for Humanity knows the joy of being able to build a building, volunteering your time, not for yourself, and seeing that building constructed. But in addition to this, there's another joy. There's a joy when a person who's volunteered for the building of this house sees the family who couldn't have afforded to live in a house like this come into this house and live. For when that family comes in, guess what? They have joy. They're living in a place that's bigger and better than they've ever lived. And there's great joy for them because that worker for Habitat for Humanity was giving to the building of this house. But then it gets reflected again. For when that family has joy, the builder, the volunteer of that house, then has another set of joy because he sees, she sees, that he has brought to a family joy and provision. This is great joy in giving. This joy is what God calls us to. This joy is what God gives to us as we apply ourselves to using our abilities, our speech and actions around non-believers, and our money to the building up of the magnificent palace of Jesus, the church. God wants us to experience joy like we see in this passage. God wants us to be surprised at being able to give to the church and surprised at the joy that comes from being part of something that is the most significant thing on the face of the earth in all the ages, the church. The people who are forgiven, the people who are experiencing God's favor. This is the most significant thing that anybody could be a part of. More significant than the rebuilding, if it ever happens, of the World Trade Centers. It's more significant than stopping the worst war that ever happened. Being in the church is the most significant thing. Helping that church to grow and to be magnificent, to be a wonderful palace for the honor of Jesus, is much more significant than anything else that we can think of. Being a part of something significant like that gives us joy from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we don't deserve joy. We don't deserve your favor. We don't deserve to have our hands or our efforts or our money even come close to touching your holy temple, your palace. We are not worthy to be builders of it. We are not worthy to contribute to it. But you have granted us your favor. You have cleansed us of our sins, Jesus, through bearing our sins in your body, removing them from us so that we could be clean, to be an aid to you, your human means of building up your palace. Cause us to be gripped with the significance of this. And with this significance in mind, cause us to give freely and generously by our abilities, by talking and of you and treating others as you have treated us, and by giving of what you've given to us. Cause us to give in that way, freely and willingly, as your people did at the construction of the temple in Jerusalem. And Lord, thank you that as we do this, you allow us to experience great joy. We ask that you would shape our hearts and minds and our framework and orientation of living to be centered toward you and toward your building, your palace, the church. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Let's now sing together of our gratefulness to the Lord for including us in his palace construction in his church through singing number 54 in your songbooks. I'm forever grateful. Please stand together as we sing.